Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On the previous episode, we talked about media bias. The Trump campaign has to some extent figured out how to manipulate the media cycle by lying. This has worked for a long time with generally good results, but the media has recently figured out they can use the same pattern to discredit certain points of view. This is an escalation of media strategy. If you're a campaign, what's your optimal path to retaliate? How does the game theory play out?
The latest round of reporting would seem to imply that Trump is totally fucked because the media is running their own game now, and it favors Biden. And you have shit libs making comments that Biden should give Dr. Fauci a Medal of Freedom. We just talked about how he's a piece of shit. We just talked about how he may be incompetent. The con is working in favor of Biden, so Biden hasn't done anything, right? Strategy. Once again, it's framed as, like, don't die, keep breathing, don't choke on water, add some honey to it to thicken it up, because we know you have gag reflexes, right? And basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to remove a non-normal from the equation, and everybody thinks Trump is a non-normal, even though he is actually the normalized version of the Republican Party. But because he doesn't play nice, he puts his elbows on the table, and he farts and waves at you, he's just a bad guy. But in the end, he's just doing everything overtly, where Biden's going to hide everything. So, you know, the idea that the media is protecting and trying to push Biden through is a very neoliberal posture. And Biden is the quintessential neoliberal politician. Everything that he does revolves around trying to prioritize the public, right? And Trump is not. Trump is an incompetent authoritarian, but he lives in the neoliberal world. In one of the previous episodes, we talked about how if you're trying to vie for absolute power and everybody around you is a shit-lib neoliberal, you cannot gain absolute power that way because nobody will fall in line because the corporations have more power than the individual does. And if the corporations didn't have the power, then you could slap everybody up and get everybody in line and threaten them, you know, with I'll go to your caucus and I will stump against you and your primary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But really, in the end, the corporations just dump money in there and keep the incumbent if the incumbent's a good person. So go ahead.
And in this situation, you have basically two candidates and the corporations don't really give a shit who wins because they already control enough that Biden furthers their game. And like we said, Trump is so incompetent that nothing changes anyway.
Nothing changes. So the corporations have nothing to lose. They don't give a shit because, again, at the end of the day, they're the same candidate. I mean, they're both racist rapists, allegedly rapists, who has spent their time either in private world trying to stop segregation or keep segregation or desegregating, I mean, or spent the time in public office, you know, fighting segregation, fighting for segregation. I can't speak tonight. And the other thing is that we just saw Biden's not going to get rid of qualified immunity, right? The number one thing he could do to help out. So we already know the status quo doesn't exist within policing. We know the status quo doesn't exist within the environmental movement. We know status quo doesn't exist within the military because the military is not being taken down or changed. The tax code won't be changed. Housing won't be changed. Food won't be changed. SNAP benefits won't be changed. Medicare for all won't happen. We know everything will be exactly the same. So what happens then
in the game? And we know this because Biden literally said it.
Biden has literally come out and said, I don't want to do anything that you whack job leftists want to do.
Will change.
Nothing will change with me in office. In fact, we'll go back to where it was under Bush, which is an even worse, like, hell world. Remember how terrible it was under Bush? Or shitty under Obama? Nobody grew. Nobody's wages went up. Right? We had the same problems we have now. Nothing happened. All of the things that Obama pushed through were immediately reversed when Trump got in the office. I mean, all those things Biden's going to do. Well, I guess it's cool. Yes. Anyways, so what's the media going to do? You have two people that are exact same. Right? It's like the same thing as two blind squirrels helping to find a nut, and the corporate world is going to support them. The corporate world is going to win again because, again, we live in a neoliberal hellscape. So how can the media bias be weaponized? So how does the media, either in both campaigns, weaponize the outcome? So here we go.
So Trump, being the authoritarian that he has no actual soft power with corporations like Biden does. So in order for Trump to actually win, he needs to absolutely assert his electoral power. And we saw this play out a little bit on Tuesday when he overtly opposed Jeff Sessions, his former attorney general, who was also a racist and also incompetent. But Trump went out of his way to oppose Sessions, and Sessions lost. He lost 60-40 to a former football coach from Alabama, Auburn Tuberville, who I honestly cannot remember in any way, shape, or form having done anything positive as a football coach. But anyways, he's running for Senate in Alabama against Doug Jones now. And Trump sort of has an ally there because he, you know, went out of his way to support him. So Trump is probably taking the right strategy here because he is attempting to assert that if you cross my path, you will lose, which is a different strategy than Biden is taking, which is the I am alive and I will continue to be alive and I will have no power while I am alive, but I will defer to corporations, yep. Which is neoliberalism.
Yep, fascism. I'm sorry, electoral fascism.
Electoral fascism. Yep. So you have Trump's starting to run these authoritarian ads where there's like a building burning and Joe Biden's kind of deranged face is superimposed over it. It talks about how, oh, you can't call the police for a murder or a rape because it'll take 5 days for the police to respond. And it's one of these like surreal commercials that'll be played in 10 years. Well, I mean, who knows? There might be some more insane commercial that comes out in the next 4 months.
Doubt it.
No? Okay. They're going all in right now.
You know, that's true. It'll be another Willie Horton ad. It'll be something like 60 Mexicans running across the border with machetes trying to kill all the white farmers or something dog whistly from the South. That'll happen. It won't be so, six. It'll be like six.
So for now, this is the funnest commercial on TV. You know, it's a scare tactic, but it kind of surreally depicts the actual current state of policing, which is if you call the police for a murder, they don't show up and stop the murder. They show up and respond to what already happened. Police have a murder kind of clearance rate, which means they actually found out who did the murder nationally, of 62.3%. That's an actual statistic.
Yep, that's real.
And then on the rape side, there are literally thousands of rape kits which have not been analyzed for DNA matches. So arguably, if you get raped and you call the police, you can't even expect a five-day response time. So a five-day response time would be phenomenal for rape.
Amazing, for sure.
But that doesn't happen.
So the question is, if you're the media, doesn't matter who wins. And actually, now it's starting to look like it does. Except if you're CNN, because we know how shitty CNN is for the Republican side, which means that if it's shitty for the Republican side, it must be good for the Democratic side. Ding, ding, ding. So the more that Trump dunks on CNN, the more they're going to pick up viewership from, we're going to call shitlets, individuals who, you know, call themselves liberal or progressive, that vote Democrat, but don't actually champion the policies of change. Anyways, they're going to start showing up to CNN, and then they're going to start adopting and loving this type of media. So it's actually in favor right now for CNN to be in conflict with Trump. But it's not in favor for MSNBC or somebody else because they're not getting dunked on. So then it's better for them now to be on Biden's good side. Because when a liberal was in office, or I guess I should say shit liberal, neoliberal, less conservative person like Obama, MSNBC was the go-to for progressives, right? So it's in their mindset now that we need to start getting Biden in place. Twitter doesn't matter. Facebook doesn't matter. I mean, it's actually all kind of fun. It's actually funnier to look at Trump memes because on Facebook, Reddit, so Twitter. Incoherent. Because they don't make any sense. Because you have boomers that are attempting to use technology they don't comprehend. They don't understand if it's for or against an individual that they're either for or against. Because they don't actually understand the context of which the meme exists. So it's really awesome. Because you can get, sometimes you get like your conservative aunt publishing leftist shit. And your liberal aunt publishing conservative shit. And it's just like your uncle and your wine aunts are saying nonsense. I mean, it's just a great time. I don't sit on those social media. I mean, I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm mostly on Reddit and some other shit, but not on Facebook. Facebook's so stupid. But it's a good time to be in conflict in those social media platforms because it drives up viewership. The more shares you get, the more ads you push, the more ability you are to spy on individuals, the more ability you can see who's conservative, who's liberal based on what their context is pushing out. But again, if you're one of the major news sources, if you're Fox News, you probably want Trump to lose. That's a thing. You want Trump to lose so that you can go back to being the voice of reason and being back to, you know, the I don't even know the
antithesis. You just want to be the opposition.
Opposition. That's a good word. Opposition. Where right now they're kind of in this weird spot where like half of their viewers are uncertain if Trump is a good president, and the other half are ferociously authoritarian. So of course he's a good president. And but, so it's actually splitting their viewership, and it's making it really hard for them to exist. And there's a, you know, there's Me Too scandals within Fox. You just want all that shit to go away, and you want Biden to win.
They just want to sell shitty mask advertisements to their aging demographic that physically doesn't know how to change the channel.
You go to these sitting areas, and it's always Fox News because somebody came in early and turned the shit on, and they just sit there and listen to, like, is your teen pregnant? Find out now.
It's like, I don't even know if I have kids.
Anyways, it's Fox News. So,
are you implying that's their demographic?
I'm implying that you kind of have to be in that location. And the other part is that you have to be under fear, in all honesty, fear or lonely, or an area in which you are concerned that the way of life that you've lived is going to change to the negative if the other side wins. And that's why you're seeing rural America always be targeted by Fox News. You always see sort of the suburbanites always targeting Fox News because they think that when urban comes to them, it's going to destroy them. But in reality, it's not that way. Nobody comes from the cities out to the farms and ruins the farms. What's mostly going to happen is neoliberal farm companies come to the farms and ruin the farms. But they blame that sort of poverty-stricken nonsense on as if like some roving gangs of black kids are going to come to the farm and burn your corn or some nonsense.
They're going to go ruin your soybean crop.
Your soybean crop for the year. But really what it is
that graffiti your steel bin.
That all of your crop costs have went up through the roof, and you have nobody on your side to protect you. That's what really happened. Anyways, but back to this idea of game theory. So when we talk about game theory, we're talking about like what's the best outcome. And so far, we saw Fox News loves it when Trump loses. And they loved it when they could say, "Oh, look, we were right." But I don't think that lasted very long. That was probably a good year and a half for them. After that, they've been losing viewers, and it's been kind of tough for them to attract anybody new because it's sort of a schizophrenic viewpoint of the world, which is Trump's good and or bad. We don't really know. You have MSNBC that says, just please, daddy, won't you give me some time? Nobody gives a shit about MSNBC. They want Biden to win. And you have CNN who honestly probably wants Trump to keep calling them names because they get to be the opposition right now. They're the voice of the opposition. They get all that, you know, viewer turnout. What's going to be on Anderson Cooper? Who's that one guy that just came up, that shit lib? During
Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon.
Oh, Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, just a bunch of fucking assholes. Just
Wolf Blitzer, Jake Blitzer, Tapper.
Fuck all these guys. These have been assholes since a long time ago. Just terrible, terrible people. Anyways, digressing. Now you know how I really feel. But let's ask another point of question, and I'll kick it back to you. If you are social media, do you care?
Like, if I'm Twitter or Facebook, do I give a rat's ass who wins?
Do you
wins?
Give a rat's out who wins? Because you already have locked in on both sides. Does it matter?
If I'm Twitter, I probably want Trump to lose so I don't have to deal with the constant barrage of, oh, my God, he's advocating for genocide on our platform. What do we do about it? Oh, we're gonna do nothing, actually.
Yep.
But don't you get sick of having these meetings where we decide to do nothing?
Or when a billionaire investor comes in and says you can't do whatever you're going to do for best business practices?
And if you're Twitter, you should really be more worried about whether you're going to get hacked or not. But I don't know. Just a guy.
Bitcoin, baby.
I wish we had an account or something, but it seems like the stupidest scam ever.
Yeah.
If you're Facebook, you probably want that sweet, sweet ad revenue associated with conservative advertising.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the center-left entities understand anything about online advertising, and I think at some level they're just too stupid to buy ads. They want to send an email and write handwritten postcards to their neighbors.
Oh, that's fucking dumb. The other thing is that the right seems to have a very good, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what political or what other shithead things say, they have a very good small donor sign-up scheme already. I forgot the people just came out and said, oh, they need a small donor thing. They already have that. They have all these ads. Do you like Trump? Sign up here. Right? Do you believe that Pelosi is a war criminal? And it's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so, I do, but I'm not going to sign up.
I'm not going to sign up, but people do it all the time because it's a Facebook ad, right? You know, and so if you're Facebook, yeah, you constantly want people in a state of shock because they do things like post your best friend's face on this. And you're like, what? Okay, here's a nine blocker. Which one of your friends is most like a cat, right? And they're just basically grabbing all types of psychological data over and over again for everybody. So I think Facebook's got locked up. I don't think it matters to them.
Not at all. They have enough data and they have enough kind of voter modeling stuff they could probably tell you who's going to win right now.
I bet they could too. Based primarily just on Outlook and people's previous things, because it's all about enthusiasm and who's going to get out the vote. Let's not lie about it. Right. We can kick into that if you want to for a second electoralism, but or not. It's up to you.
Well, this is a big decision.
Well, you know, we'll just keep on this. If you're Reddit, Reddit's already dunking itself by getting rid of, you know, major.
Its entire user base.
Platform drivers, yeah. It's just not full of shit libs who are posting cat videos and terrible, shitty, you know, politics things and then muting anybody that has a different opinion.
What about your Instagrams, your TikToks, your WhatsApps, your.
Ooh,
Snapchat, your Insta chats, your.
Ooh, I like that. I like what you're saying here. Your Insta noodles. I got it. Snapchat doesn't matter. That's a communication protocol. WhatsApp is, I guess, trying to hit people up on the side. Not really needed. Instagram is a bunch of dickheads who are blacking out and muddling up information about what's Black Lives Matter, what's not. I don't see Instagram as being actually a needed platform. It's just basically quote unquote influencers sharing shitty photos of themselves and blocking things out. I say TikTok has the most to gain or lose because right now there's this thread about people shutting down TikTok because they're being all videos about people. But in the end, it's people who are not actionable. So I guess the other part of this is people on the social media, they're going to vote. I mean, it goes back to electoralism. I mean, in the end, the news media can drive out voters, right? So you can drive out the people you want to vote. You can hint at who you think you want to do, just like churches do, just like other big groups do. Here's who we support. but Twitter, Reddit, they're really global sort of platforms. Do they have the ability to just influence the U.S. election or any election at all? Or is it basically because everything is just statistical noise? Like, did Facebook affect the 2018 election?
Well, I think Facebook absolutely could.
I think Facebook could too, just by the sheer ability to show you, you know, what you want to see.
They have actual demographic data. They have actual like human interaction data with real people.
They got graph models of all connectivity.
Yeah. Twitter kind of has that with your followers and stuff, but. And they probably do have some model of who actual people are tied to accounts, but at another level, they're just kind of random people with 18, you know, character usernames and stupid 90 pixel pictures.
Stupid 90 pixel pictures.
And Reddit is even a little bit more anonymous, but again, I mean, there's probably cookie tracking and stuff that lets Reddit kind of pinpoint who actual people are and who they interact with. Reddit doesn't produce any content, and I don't think they have enough kind of reach at the stateside level, especially in the demographics that kind of influence elections, where nobody over the age of, let's say, 50 is on Reddit, and nobody over the age of 50 is on Twitter. Facebook is basically just...
Gen Xers, yeah,
maybe a little bit younger, but I mean, elections are basically decided by demographics, and so these platforms that have certain demographics are going to have more influence whether they like it or not.
Yeah, do you think the demographics of news, this is where it's cool about strategies we have to discuss now, like the demographics of people that actually watch CNN or go to Al Jazeera or go to BBC or go to NPR? I mean, those seem like they're already going to be engaged, and so they're going to probably vote anyways.
It's selection bias. The people that watch CNN are already dialed in, and they're not going to be swayed by CNN in all likelihood.
That's what I'm thinking, too. So I think really the only outlet you have is social media if you're going to sway any voters. But again, it's about enthusiasm. It's about winning. It's about the game, right? if your team's going to win or lose, you may play harder or less hard depending on it. I mean, have you seen a Biden sign?
I have not.
I saw one the other day around 17 Trump signs. So we all know that, well, we know, maybe not all of us know, that yard signs don't vote and yard signs don't get the vote out. But it's also about enthusiasm. Is there an enthusiasm gap based on support and donations coming in? I don't know anybody that's donated to Biden. Have you just, I don't think you maxed, have you?
I have not maxed to Biden. No, I have not.
Yeah, there's no way.
I have the check sealed, though, but you know, I haven't made it to the post office.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. I mean, I don't know any small donors that are voting for Biden. I mean, he seems to be all corporate ran. I mean, again, I don't know where enthusiasm is coming from. You have a core set of Trump voters who are willing to get out the vote and rock and roll and kick some ass and just go vote. Are they going to donate time? No. Are they going to tell the neighbor to vote? Probably not. Are they going to go vote? Yes, they are. Absolutely going to go vote.
They're committed enough to go to an in-person event with another 10,000 of their fellow idiots to watch a maskless COVID party.
I love maskless COVID parties. I mean, don't really. I'm kidding. Do not.
They're going to go vote.
They're going to go vote. If they're willing to go and get COVID for the president, they are willing to go vote. And that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. So the question is can the media get everybody on Biden's side? And I think they're doing a good job at it. I think they're trying really hard to get people on Biden's side by taking individuals who may be on the fence about Trump. So some of his core, but not core, right? The lifetime Republicans.
We call them independent voters.
Independent voters. But they come on. No one's independent. It's like 2% of people are independent.
It's all polarized. But they're independents, so they get the focus group of CNN independent voters.
But there's no way of proving someone's independent because you don't get voter records. So let's just say that.
You choose like people that are working for the campaigns, and then you say they're independent, right? They're That's independent. How they do town hall questions, right?
Yeah, I am part of the Biden for president group. Can you answer my question?
I am a student at Norfolk University in state where the debate is being had, and I'm just but a poor student that wants to ask a question about healthcare. But I also happen to be employed by the healthcare for all, but really nobody. But we're trying to present it as a good thing. Institute.
Yeah. What's that one that it was basically a spook that was doing it? What the hell? Oh, man. It's just like you're saying there. There's another one that popped up that was so funny as shit.
Peter Butterbar?
No, there was one that was like, yeah, I'm an intern, but just like the director of marketing at some fucking other firm. Right. I'm independent. Anyways, back to the independent voters. Like, nobody's really independent. I didn't know where I was going with this. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not convincing, but a small majority of the people is switch sides. You're trying to convince people to go out and vote. And so how are you going to convince people of color to go out and vote? I don't think you can, unless they've already been voting. How are you going to convince poor people to go out and vote? I don't know if you can. How are you going to convince individuals who are suburbanites to make time to go out and vote? I don't know if you are going to. I think the polls say that Trump's going to get his ass whipped, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Unless the media really pulls a magic trick here, I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, if you look at the polls last cycle, and we can look at all the media bias that happened in 2016 for a little bit too, maybe, it has a very similar feel. There's kind of this inevitable sense that Biden is going to win because he, you know, can string two sentences together. You know, maybe he can't do three, but he can do two really well. And Hillary was presented as she's the most, you know, qualified person ever. She's... Now this, that, and the other thing, and she's winning in the polls by 100%, whatever. But there's 4 months to go, and Trump won. Doesn't matter what national polls say. Well, state polling is probably a little bit more important. This far out, it doesn't matter. And there's so many more variables this time of how many people are actually going to go vote. Let's say you hate both candidates. Are you going to go, you know, put your mask on and go wait in line with a bunch of other potential idiots that are going to breathe on you and give you COVID to go vote for two racist war criminals?
Yeah, and it's actually let's swallow this other pill. What if you don't have a mask? Is a mask a poll tax now? Are you going to actually preclude people from voting because they can't afford to get a mask on? I mean, at this point in time, it seems unconstitutional to even require a mask to vote, but at the same time, we need to require a mask to vote so that no one dies.
There's probably an argument to be made that providing the access to an absentee ballot, if you do or don't have a mask, but that's not, I mean, some states are doing that, but not all states. So if you require masks, don't you have to provide masks to people? And I think the answer is yes, from a legal standpoint.
Same thing if you require an ID, you have to give an ID, right?
Yep. For
free. So I'm on board with that too. I'm just saying, you know, that just popped in my head about just the inability of some people to get masks, or we're using one that's tattered, right? I mean, it's not really a mask, there's a hole in it. Nobody has everyone has access to fabric. Nobody has access to everything they need.
What actually qualifies as a mask from a legal perspective, if you were to... It's a face covering that obstructs your mouth and nose. No, it's at least 3 inches wide or whatever. Like, there has to be some definition of what a mask is. And then you're going to have people...
face covering. You can pull your shirt over your face, right?
Whatever, legally. Yeah. And there's going to be people that refuse to wear a mask. I mean, there's people right now refusing to wear masks. And if it becomes tied to voting, I just think that's going to be kind of a... It'll be an issue. And it will, in some regards, restrict the ability of some people to vote in person.
It will. Because it will.
100%. It is, I mean, it's... It's, do I want to vote? Or... And let's say the answer is yes. Do I want to risk my life with X percentage of likelihood of death or whatever that you're going to get COVID while you vote?
Yep. No, and it's, and this is like, you know, it's getting kind of long, electoralism. Our next episode, let's do electoralism one about this. But, in the end, if we talk about strategy, media itself is not going to have its own, they're not going to have a cohesive strategy. They're going to have individuals based on market and in their play, right? And NPR is going to still be transactional, still going to be a whataboutism, it's still going to be each side is a piece of shit stories, right? You're still going to have BBC, which is going to be the British news, always dunking on the US. You're going to have MSNBC again, the whipping boy, the forgotten stepchild. CNN's whipping boy, that's going to be the voice of the left. You're going to have the voice of the right, which is Fox News. You're going to have Bloomberg, who I don't even know what the hell that news channel does anymore besides just exists in New York.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It exists anywhere else. I mean, and then you have all the newspapers we even talked about, like the major newspapers that have to keep writing these stupid op-eds continuously to try to either jump support or kill support.
Mr. Trump should resign.
Yeah, every shit lib says, Mr. Trump, are you going to resign now? Why the fuck would he resign? Don't say that. At no point in time... This is important. At no point in time will anything that Trump does or doesn't do, or any evidence that comes out against him or doesn't come out against him or whatever the fuck it is, he will never resign. There's no reason to. It doesn't make any sense to. If I was Trump, I would say, eat dick. I'm not resigning. And he says that, right? He absolutely doesn't care. And he's never going to resign. Anybody that tells you they should resign is a moron. Because he's never going to resign. Resigning is not something a president does unless it's Nixon. And Nixon only resigned because he was threatened with a veto-proof
impeachment. And impeachment. He got told that if he resigned, he'd be pardoned. So he did it.
He did. So what did Ford do?
Carried water for the party.
What are you going to do about it? He pardoned him. President has pardon power. He can even let his... He could have pardoned Epstein if Epstein didn't get suicided. Right? It didn't matter.
Could have commuted the sentence. Yeah. Stone.
He can commute Roger Stone. He just did that. Roger Stone committed all types of crimes. Right?
But Robert Mueller would say he's a felon.
He's a felon. Robert Mueller is a class traitor. Actually, more Robert Mueller protects the class that he's in. So he understands. He gets
it. Yeah, he accomplished exactly what he sought to accomplish.
Right, which is protect the nation, protect the presidency. He doesn't care. He doesn't actually care. Just so everybody knows, Robert Mueller was never actually ever going to convict Trump of anything. Because he wasn't going to make the Republic bad. Sorry, digressing. So back to the newspapers real quick. You know, it's actually in the electoral politics of the newspapers to pick your local champion. And this is actually where it gets really crazy, right? So does the Iowa person pick their presidential candidate? How many people last year actually endorsed Trump? Not many. Did it matter for them? Did they lose viewers? Nope. It doesn't matter. But does it matter if they pick a local candidate? I think it does. I think the local newspapers have to pick local candidates because it's the only way for them to be relevant within that local campaign. So I think you're going to see that similar corruption in which they're going to favor one candidate or the other. It's going to be purely transactional. It's not going to be about policy. It's purely transactional. Who do we think is going to win? They're who we're going to endorse. Why? Purely transactional. Because at the end of the day, we want to have the scoop first. We want to be the paper of first publish. All that fun stuff.
And, you see this happen on TV shows or local media, national media, where you have certain people are constantly on TV shows, and you're always like, who the hell is this guy?
Yep.
Why is he on? There's some reason for it. Best example I can come up with is, why is the mayor of Atlanta always on CNN? Well, the answer is because the headquarters of CNN is in Atlanta, and it's an attempt to curry favor with basically the local political establishment. So CNN kind of scratches their back and gets scratched back. Transactional.
Purely transactional. Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, there is. Stop consuming media. But there's really nothing you can do about it. So we always like to end the show. We never really do a good job of this. I'm trying to summarize and wrap this up. So here we go. The first episode that, we talk about how the media always wants conflict to make it so that you're constantly being hooked on it and always kind of bury what the discussion should be and back and forth. This one's basically game theory. Does it matter to the media if Trump wins or not? And to some it does, and to some it doesn't, and to some it they don't care because it doesn't matter. The Iowa paper that endorsed Trump or endorsed Biden or endorsed Hillary, nothing happened to them. It doesn't matter. In the end, it's a failed media, so it doesn't matter. Anyways, but the important part for you is to look in your local papers, look in your local news, and try to find out which one of your candidates is constantly in the news or constantly trying to get sound bites because they're the ones they're trying to curry favor. If they're constantly calling the same city council member or constantly calling the same, school board member, they're trying to curry favor for some reason, either a run in the future or whatever it is. And it's really important you do this because you can find out where the loyalties lie. The loyalty lies with you or with the press or with big business.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.